after the last session 2 days ago, I felt really like happy and excited and relieved. And then I noticed that all my mindfulness was like gone. And also later when something happened that made me kind of anxious and upset, then it was really hard to have any progress. And so I'm wondering if I should just like be very passive from now on and try to avoid any, not do anything, because obviously the mind is not very stable.
When we are not so skillful at practicing, Seattle says, yes, the highs and the lows can feel very rough. You know, it feels so good when the practice gains some momentum, and then, you know, the momentum goes, dies, and then we crash, and then and we become very excited when it's good. So, of course, when it drops, the disappointment is bigger because we were very happy. So, but he says, but these are lessons that we have to go through. The mind has to go through these cycles so that it starts to recognize this is what happens. And then it starts to realize that even when things are good, it will fade away. And even when things are bad, it won't last forever. So we start to become less excited when it's good and less disappointed when it's bad. And you know, that's how the mind learns. Sero says all of us yogis go through this cycle, especially the greed part. You know, some things get well, you know, happen. We have good experiences and then we start to want it to carry on. We want the good experience to stay. We grasp it. Then we try to practice so that it will stay. And that is like the sure way to have it start. It starts going down. And even if we didn't try, you know, everything comes with momentum. So when momentum dies, it also dies. So, you know, so it's a lesson that we just have to, the mind has to figure out from the practice. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, hello. The question about while meditating and like kind of having a, this is pretty much about thinking process, because like I have a quite creative mind as many people have, and I used to like create in my mind many things, like it's about my work, and like I used to draw a lot.
Yes.
Then I started like used to like model a lot, but then I like in the late like maybe 10 years I'd be like doing like kind of a design work in my head. It's kind of like building things up. It might be about like designing or like problem solving or whatever. So the question is, the first question is pretty much about like what is the mindful way to think.
Okay. Tu wa anu pinya tama. Tu wa sinzare, tu wa ti twin ne, tu wa baji swe re, babu thu re, design twin ne, nabro ho di
twin ti lou
a. Twin ye le twin ma le sha pwe le twin shi le lo myo ha re le lou de. A lo tu ma tu a lo tu gao ne ma mya sinzare ne le so sinzare la bu lo lo tri shi.
Below the time,
อืมอสไปมาเนาะดันทุ่งน่ะมั้ยอ่ะแม้นบางอย่างนี่พี่ๆเนี่ยอาชีพผิดแล้วอ่าไซด์ปรมาตัวไม่จ้วงจริงเลยตะติท่าอ่ะอาเมียนี่แม้ๆล่ะเต็มมาครับนอกไปตัวตุยตาแล้วตุลงตุลงมั้ยตะติอ่ะแลติอยู่ติอยู่นี่เว้ตุลงตุลงมั้ยส่วนนอกไปอย่างไอ้ตุยนี่เราก็ไปติลงอย่างไอ้เส้นยောက်ล่ะเว้ยอสมาเราอสไซด์ตาโหเนเน่ช็อตอยู่ล่ะอสไซด์ไล่ตุลงไม่อ่ะเนาะ
So Sierra says we can be mindful when thinking. We can know that the mind is thinking while the mind is thinking and stay aware. But it takes a lot of practice. Like you have to want to do it. You have to quite dedicate yourself to it. In the beginning, Sierra says it, it's like we always put too much effort to be aware because the mind is not skillful. So when we put too much effort to be aware, it's like you are aware, but the mind can't think. But then when we don't try to put effort to be aware, we put a lot of effort to think. And then we get lost in thought. So then the mindfulness disappears. But if you persist, you know, if you are interested in this, Yadav says you do it every time you think. Every time you remember, say, okay, I'll be aware again while I'm thinking. And you start again and again and again. He says your mind will get a feel for it. And then you'll find like the thinking mind does its own work and awareness does its own work. And they both happen at the same time. And it's only difficult because it's something we have never done before, right? Sierra says, but everything comes easy with practice. So when if this is something that interests you and if you will persevere, you will find that it's just as easy as being aware of anything else.
Thank you. And another question.
Yeah.
It's about like a situation while meditating and like kind of a some process comes up and I kind of like a think I'm aware of it.
Yes.
And like I'm just like following or like watching.
Yes.
At a story. Yes. It might be many things, but there was something like yesterday I started to follow. And like kind of like I totally lost the time, the sense of time, and I had the feeling that I'm not like kind of acting, like actively taking part in the story.
Mm-hmm. You felt like you were actively taking part in the story.
Like I was not actively taking part.
Not like actively. Okay.
Yeah. So like the question is like because like after that I like had the feeling that maybe I was aware. But like, I'm not sure like if I was aware or not, because kind of like it was kind of a Satori kind of a feeling that I'm just like watching,
yes,
and being aware. A little bit like,
yes,
off out the story, of out of the story, but like, yeah, kind of, yeah, watching. Like, is it like kind of a, did I totally lost myself somewhere or was so, I aware or something like that?
Yeah. Together, a twin outline it out, sick. The man line, the dee will alamati, resica, be trappy, teeny the lopitoire, to what a whole story them a par of it, a be trappy chee the lopitoire to one, and then Hima, you did Saturday lopitoire to Ero to Hima, the dishi lamashila, so so well, the dishi lamashi, hello to Hima McQuail,
a man with the big gong, the cook weather.
So So he doesn't know what happened before that moment, but certainly in the moment that you felt that you were no longer participating in the act, in the story, he says at that time the mind had seen clearly the difference between the two natures. The mind saw that the knowing is knowing, and that the story is just the thought, you know, the thinking mind is creating a story, and it could see both of these, and that's why you feel like you stepped out of it and you just see both natures, and so that's mindfulness of thinking.
This is
what he often calls being able to know thinking mind objectively, right? Yeah. And when the mind becomes skillful, it can do this quite naturally.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Actually, before coming here, I really didn't know what to say, and thanks for sharing your things. I am having these kind of troubles that my mind is just taking me away, and I just want to follow it, and then again, okay. And then again, I'm aware that, oh, I like to follow my mind, it's so cool. And then again, I'm just it carries me away, and I feel that, no, I want to just be here in this mind, what he tells, what kind of pictures it gives me, what emotions, and I don't want to be aware.
Ooh.
Like, it disturbs me from these feelings, from these sensations, from even this taste. I cannot combine these two things. I can be aware that I'm tasting, I am enjoying, I'm aware, yes, I like it, yeah, I like it, but it's not that. If I don't think I like it, then I like it. But if I think, I lose this fullness of this taste or feeling or smell or whatever. So now I start to dislike this, my awareness, because it's like stopping me from experiencing and being alive as I think.
Tua bunu yusal, tua dri tain, tua pite hau tu apie wa kanza lu meya rore. Shinta mu mu shi de lu kanza re. Deka em biao miam la, di shi po rang shinta.
Mo tu wa ga loba ga lu chenai lu lu meya. Dri tain ni loba ga tua lu chenai lu lu meya. Ini nua chen nua loba ga lu chenai lu lu ya ni. Kwa tau alai chen de lu chen.
Oh.
Tua dri tain ni tu lu chenai lu lu meya la sika. Ano tu tong la mo.
Yeah, he says it's a bit like, you know, when the way the mind usually works, when we're not aware of anything and the mind just plunges itself into its experience, there's some attachment at work, right? The mind has some he uses the simple word greed, right? Loba. So the greed wants to feel its sensations or enjoy its experiences. And he says it's true that when we bring mindfulness to it, the greed feels like it's being watched. You know, then it feels like it can't freely do what it has always been doing. You know. And he said, when we practice this type of meditation, this is the practice we do. And the strange thing is that, you know, we often say that when we practice mindfulness, you actually are more in touch with the mind. So you are more alive, because when you don't know what the mind is doing, it's like you're dead to the experience. You don't even know what the mind is experiencing. But that when you know you are fully alive to what the mind can do, and all it can experience, you actually know it while it's doing it. And so that's supposed to be more alive, you know, and that you can be spontaneous because the mind is with its experience, you know, whatever that is. But he says, And the purpose of this meditation is to understand the nature of this mind and body, you know, and when we understand the nature of this mind and body, we also understand the purpose of all these things that are happening in this mind and body. It all starts to make sense. We see the cause and effect processes, and we start to... It's not all just random anymore. It's not just life happening. There's actually some, you know, there's a purpose to it, which is to understand it, you know.
The meaning of
So Seattle says, if you want to, if you want to experiment, Seattle says, for like 2 days or 3 days, you can tell the mind, okay, I don't have to do this for the rest of my life. It's my choice, right? So for 2 or 3 days, I will try. I'll drop, you know, I will, maybe it feels like I can't, be spontaneous. Maybe it feels like I'm not alive. I'll just put it aside for a while and try and see what it feels like and see what happens if there is some momentum. When the mindfulness becomes more continuous, what does it begin to feel like? And then I'll decide. If you want to try.
Yeah, thanks. This is a very good idea.
There's no compulsion. He says, we need to make choices in our life. He says, we will only do what's beneficial for us, what's good for us, right? But we won't know until we've tried something out fully. So just try it out, and then you can decide, he said. At least you will know for yourself. He says, if you imagine, like the way he imagines it, he says, knowing about himself and not knowing about himself, he would rather know himself. He says, when he thinks, he is aware of what he's thinking. When he speaks, he's aware of how he speaks. When he does something, he's aware he's doing it. He's aware of his motivations and all. He says, and if there is someone who doesn't know what they're thinking, speaks without, knowing, does things, like a lot of us, we can end up saying things without really thinking and all that, right? So he says, if you think about the quality of two people, one who is aware of themselves and their choices, and the other one who sometimes the mind runs away with them, and they're left with what the mind, with the consequences of that. He says, who do you think will kind of
quality, have... Say quality, say, blue name, leo, say, not you.
Yeah, so he says, just try it out.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. One other thing, You are just saying mind, things, everything is so mental, and actually I'm so tired in living in mental world. I just try to live in my emotional world, in my feelings, in my sensations. Okay, emotion and feelings, I think they are two different things. Emotions, okay, they can come from mind, which I think, or my personality.
Yes.
Like what I like or dislike. But feelings, I think it's different. It doesn't come from mind, it comes from heart, and how to integrate this in this meditation and mindfulness.
Right.
Because these feelings I cannot control, it doesn't come from what I have learned or what I want or not. It's a bit mystery.
What sort of feelings?
Like I don't know, faith or unconditional love or joy out of nothing. Oh,
right. Okay, yeah.
This kind of...
Feelings, yeah, so you're not calling
them
emotions.
Which comes from the source.
Okay.
It doesn't come from, I think, I like it or...
I see what you mean.
I haven't learned that apple is tasty and banana is not tasty. Or
right. Okay.
Black people are nice and white people are not nice.
Right. But Tua, die, Tua, de biro ma se ka akon no na long da ne nya ne atu du be le sei da mai tu wa di gao ne ma ni ya la tu mind pitong no tu gao ne ma ni ya la tu pin ma ni le a tu wa na ne khan sa mu ne
twa chin
ne khan sa mu ne di khan na ku khan sa mu ne tu po ti chin ne bo le ne ne po bro mo yin gao ne ma yi be so yin ne tu wa atwe ri ne tu wa pin ma ni da le tu wa ho wa a ro number two, emotional feeling or query emotion ga elo myo ho wone da da ro ba ro da mae ho feeling ga ba o pyo a le so upama metta khan za da ro joy phit da ro ho ho tu ra tu a ra ni emotion lo ma kho u bo no ti ya ko tin pi tha da ma ho phen ne tu a tu phit la de khan za mu ri bo no elo myo tu a pyo ra
ya ba de da le ti chin ya ba tu lo le blo phit ni
ya da mae tu a ra ni o sait ka ma la u lo pyo ra စိတ်ကမလာဘူးလို့ထင်နေပေါ့လေသူကအဲ့လိုပြော
တယ်အမှန်တော့အဲ့အားလုံးကဒီဗုဒ္ဓဘာသာဟိုတန်းထဲမှာတော့ဒါအားလုံးစိတ်တွေထည့်ထားတ
ယ် Yeah So just
ဒါကြောင့်အဲ့အရာတွေအကုန်လုံးကြည့်ကြည့်ရမယ်လိလာကြည့်မယ်တတိထားကြည့်မယ်
It's just terminology
Not
yeah
only the domain မှာဖြစ်တာမြေတမ်းမှာရောခေါင်းထဲမှာရောအကုန်ကြည့်ချင
်း Yeah so terminology
ဘယ်လိုဖြစ်နေလဲ
Terminology wise in Buddhism there's one word for the mind and the heart it's citta okay
one word for mind and heart
yes it's citta because yes. although in English we separate the mind and the heart in Buddhism the citta is the source of everything and in English the citta has been translated as the mind that's or you can call it consciousness okay so that's the been the translation for the word citta and everything starts from the citta so the citta is the source of our thoughts it's the source of our feelings and it's the source of the fact that we can feel things on the body that's also the citta that's doing it so you know the citta so this becomes a lesson on Buddhist terminology but because the citta it has so there's okay I'm going to use the word mind again so there's citta so there's actually another word but we call it like matter and mental okay so there's materiality or matter and there's mental so the mental part is the alive part of the body in Buddhist terminology and that is what we call the citta and the citta is the basis of everything else so there's many ways of categorizing it one of them is that there's only one category for the body that's material the rest of it there's feeling consciousness perception and everything else that happens in the mind in the citta in the mind so it's sort of like our whole being is the citta you know it everything so whether we call it emotion or feeling in Buddhist terminology is the same thing they're all felt
mm-hmm.
right so if it's felt it's something we can know about this mind and body or this citta and body right right so something that's felt is known by the citta you know knowing the consciousness is also the citta it's just a different function the citta does so many things but it's just a different function and then so there's perception giving meaning to these functions right and like now in like when we use words it's also the work of perception and you've tried to define feelings and emotions but for me they're the same thing you know because in my perception that's how I've learned it
mm-hmm.
you know
nature တစ်ခုအနေနဲ့တဲ့လို့မြင်ရမှာဒီတဘာဝလိလာပေါ့စိတ်ကချမ်းသာတယ်စိတ်ကစင်ရင်ဘာကြောက်လဲဒါကြီးအကြောင်းရှိတော့သူတို့လည်းသူတို့အလုံးနဲ့သူတို့လုံကြရတာပေါ့အဲ့ဒါမြင်လာရင
် yes
စိတ်ချမ်းသာပုံနေနိုင်လာမှာပေါ့
yeah so there is this process yeah this is of this citta working together with the body and how they affect each other and he says some of the processes that happen you know it brings well-being to the mind some of the processes that happen in the mind and the body they don't bring well-being to the mind and when we watch our citta and body and you know you can call it the heart when you watch your heart and the way it interacts when you watch the mind the heart the feelings the emotions the body he says you can watch all of this because it's all in here he says when you start to see the processes that bring well-being to the mind the processes that don't bring well-being to the mind your mind will choose what's beneficial to itself and that's what we're trying to do
mm-hmm. so you don't differentiate mind and heart
no you not in the Buddhist mind. Terminology
cool
yeah it for me like if I say it means the same thing to me my heart is what thinks
in English yeah. sometimes we the way we've been conditioned is we associate mind with thinking But here, the word mind is just used differently. It's to encompass everything subjective, everything not material. So then we could say, oh, mind is... So we say mind, and then we keep hearing about this mental process. But it actually includes joy and love and all those qualities that you were talking about.
This citta.
That's citta, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so it's very... It's everything then.
Yeah.
So if you ask me, my heart thinks. It's not my head that thinks, you know.
Mm-hmm. My mind feels.
Yeah. My heart feels. And yeah, and the mind feels too. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, they're the same thing.
So if you're knowing that joy is present, when you're knowing that love is present, here we would say you're knowing your mind.
Mm. But you can say you're knowing your heart.
You can also say you're knowing your heart. And sometimes people, you know, in talking about the Dhamma, we might say heart, mind, just say both. So that in language, we're including both.
Yeah.
But the way we're conditioned, if we say mind a lot, then we hear this sense that we're just kind of climbing up into the attic.
Into the head.
You know, of the head.
Yeah.
But it's everything. So when you say these qualities that you're noticing, which are beautiful qualities in the Dhamma, sympathy, you know, joy, love, loving kindness, compassion, those qualities we say is citta, mind heart. And knowing the mind heart is being mindful of mind, of citta, and then knowing the body is knowing body sensations. Right? So then we just make that, and you don't even need to make the distinction too strong. It's really to develop the ability to know what is happening. Right? So that when there are conditions that are leading to some suffering, we know what is the cause that's leading to the suffering. And then when there are experiences that we are very clear, this is a good quality of mind, joy, right? When we have this sense of being connected and caring for others, this is a skillful state of mind. We know this is a skillful state of heart, mind, right? So it's just the knowing. It's the knowing. And use the words that you feel comfortable to help you to be aware. So if thinking about being aware means you're climbing into thinking about tasting and joy, then use different words like feeling or knowing your emotions, right? Just very directly knowing. Because the words can sometimes interfere with what it is that the mind is naturally knowing.
Yeah. Right? Yes, yeah. That's true.
It's just a little getting used to, because the terminology can sometimes get us off track when the words are not quite making sense to the way we hear them. Because for me, for a long time, mind, but the heart feels, and I had very similar.
But
and then
really
I realized,
feels.
Oh, mind and heart. Huh?
But it really feels. If I feel something, it here, this energy.
Yeah, it feels.
And
yeah.
If I think, then like in brain somewhere, here is like heat. It's like...
Yes, that's fine. And that's totally fine to hold it that way. I mean, even with the Burmese language where the citta encompasses both, if I say feel, I think of this area near my heart. And when I say think, I think of near my head. It's just a conceptual way we feel it. But when as we practice, we also start to lose the boundaries. You know, we also start to see that all of it is just processes. Then it stops being in the mind or the heart or a place. It just is things that you know that are happening. And it's common, Seattle says, for us to feel these distinctions, because very often when we feel something, we feel it in the heart area, in this area, in the chest. We feel tension, joy, all of the suffusing, all that comes from here. And then when we think a lot, we start getting a headache, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are yogis who, if you ask them to look at emotion, they say they feel nothing here. Then for them, it's really hard for them to use those words. Then we just find another word, because it doesn't matter what the word is.
Mm.
Okay.
Knowing your experience, right? Yeah. You know your experience, that's the part.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what Sierra was saying. Just know your experience, that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. However you feel you know it, that's...
The awareness just helps us to know. Mm-hmm. It just helps us to know. And then we can know what to generate more of, right? So we know what's skillful and we generate more of it. When we see what's unskillful, the wisdom over time learns that lesson and slowly that gets weakened. We're not feeding it. Mm-hmm. But you see people that if they don't have any awareness, they don't know how they're living. And they're developing all kinds of habits of heart and mind. But they don't see the cause and effect process because they're just kind of lost inside their experience. And they don't know. Awareness gives us the information that we can see, oh, this is really like a beautiful thing to develop. Great, we develop that. We grow that. And there are heart qualities. There's also wisdom qualities. All of the qualities that are beneficial, we keep strengthening them. And we also want to learn about, you know, not deceive, because so often in practice we try to avoid things that we don't want to look at. But what we don't look at stays very powerful. So we also slowly want to see how does the mind judge and criticize, just to be honest so we can see what is happening there, what is the process that I need to learn something about that. And in seeing it, we put down that burden, right? These ways in which maybe the life becomes more narrow because we don't want to go certain places in our experience. Oh, but just opening slowly to see that, oh, good. Then the life starts to open more fully. Everything we need to know, we know, right? What is skillful, what's unskillful, what's wholesome, what's unwholesome. That's what awareness and wisdom over time gives us, is this chance to see our life clearly. See, what is this life? Heart and mind. What is this heart and mind? This process.
Yeah, it's kind of psychotherapy, just in a bit distant way, because here you are psychotherapist to yourself.
Could be. Yeah. Psychotherapist, Saito?
What?
To oneself?
Well? Koko psychotherapy, lo be the lo be, and I mean, and I'm
okay.
Yes.
To do
that.
I
mean, when we know ourselves well, Sierra says, yes, we can be like a psychotherapist for ourselves, but it can be so much more.
Even more? The children, they know I trauma, they are told, I don't keep Pilo yet. Do you want that?
Yeah,
they know so kind of. Who's saying that Bianin?
There is the understanding of this mind and its difficulties and the wisdom. Understanding how to unravel and resolve those difficulties, but then there's the truth of the way all this life is, and understanding that sets the mind free.
Yeah,
but it's when we don't know what's happening in this mind, in this heart mind, that we get caught in its traps, because the heart mind has both skillful and unskillful qualities, but if we don't know them, we're at their mercy. They do what they want. We don't know why we're sad. We just have to be. Sometimes we're angry, we don't want to be, and we can't help it. Sometimes we're happy and want to keep it, but we can't. Just learning. You know?
He says,
when we're not in touch with the heart mind and if we haven't been learning about it, he says it can get to a point that the heart mind can really torture us back. He suffered, he did whatever he wanted in his life, and then the heart mind came back and tortured him. He was afraid, he had paranoia, he was depressed, he was shaking when he had to meet people, the good luck he had was that he had learned to meditate and very well from a very young age.
But he never meditated at home. He did it in the monastery. He came home and just forgot about it because he was just wanted to have fun. And then when all that depression and anger and everything came up, all the dissatisfaction with his life and the things he had to do came up, he said his mind really just beat him, you know. And then he started trying to practice at home. And then when, you know, day after day after day of just trying to... He didn't think that he was going to get better. It just made him feel a bit better to be mindful than to let that fire consume him. So if he was knowing it, he was a little further from the fire. So he just kept doing that. And then after a year, 2 years, he began to understand so many things about it that then the tables were turned. He wasn't... The heart mind didn't torture him, then it served him well. Same heart and mind. He learned how to manage the stuff that his mind gave him, like all the anger and all the rage that his mind had. He found out how to soften them, how to put them out, how to put out those fires, how to live more peacefully. All learned slowly. When he didn't know, everything was hard.
Very hard.
Everything was very hard, yeah. Every day. He said waking up in the morning was hard. Getting to work and doing the work was hard. Talking to a customer was hard. Everything was hard. So, but he discovered through that process of trying to meditate at home that this is what happens. That if you know the mind, it can become very skillful, and then then it becomes a good servant instead of a bad master. And then he, you know, his mind chose to do the things that are wholesome, that are skillful for the mind, that are kind for the mind, that gave the mind less suffering. That's what he learned to do.
Okay.
Like a very tough experience.
Yes, I think when he was going through it, it was tough. Yeah. We can only hear about it. He went through it.
And it gives a lot of hope and joy to look at you and
Yes, he says, when we know, we will have joy. He says, it's not knowing that will give us trouble.
We don't know what's happening, we don't know how to do. Then you have no way out.
Then you suffer, he said.
Thanks for this inspiring sharing.
And this happened to him.
This
happened to him at about when he said by the time he got to the age of 30, he had this very, very bad depression and paranoia and all that. Before that, he had it twice. So it was already coming, you know. Life was not going the way he wanted. And he had his first depression. And then he said, sort of like, you know, he was still young. So somehow he sort of muddled by and it sort of left. And then he got a second attack of depression. And then he said that time he sort of was like, I am not going to be like this, you know, like he was so fed up of his mind being so sad every day. He was like, not like it. And he used anger, he said, and he sort of like he was like, I'm going to get out of this. And he sort of got out of it, like gave energy to his mind. But he said the third time it hit him, he said there was no energy to fight back. Each time the wave of depression came back, he said the depression had learned more about him than he had learned about the depression, so it was more powerful. It knew how to... He said he thinks he was lucky that he began to try so hard with the third depression, because he thinks maybe if he had a fourth, if he survived that without meditating and really getting over it, if he had a fourth one, he said maybe he would have committed suicide or something. You know, it's very bad.
Okay, so
Yeah, well.
Sorry, can we go back to that question? It's still troubling my mind.
Sure.
So quickly, if I get it right, so an untrained mind can only like handle one task at a time, but as you keep practicing, you can start being aware of how your mind works and like multitasking. Did I get it right? That
you will start noticing. Yeah, you will start noticing connections.
What is the way to that state? Because
you don't try to get to that state. That's the important thing. You don't try to get to that state. Yeah.
But I mean, there's like external objects and internal objects. Maybe that's.
Yeah, there's the explanation is really long. If you would read one of the books, there are much more. Yeah, Seattle is giving a more general answer. He says, like, one of the, for example, he says, one of the basic reasons for suffering is we suffer when we are having dosa. Dosa is where we resist or we don't want what's happening now. Okay, so, and the reason for not wanting what's happening now, the way things are, is because we want something else. So that's loba. And he says, when we have a lot of unfulfilled desires, loba is desire. When we have a lot of unfulfilled desires, Seattle says the mind starts to collapse around all the things that it doesn't want, that it has. You know, so it sets up, the mind is always setting itself up in this way. But if we don't see the patterns, we're just like at their mercy. Seattle says, if you even just think of a man alone in the forest with just 10 things that work for him, and if one thing starts working, Seattle says, already the person starts to feel a little bit difficulty. Nine things still work, you know, one thing doesn't work, the person will already start to have a little bit of difficulty with his comfort, sense of whatever. He says if five things don't work, that person's going to be in pretty major, like, upheaval. When they can't get all 10, he says, what do you think is happening to this person's mind? They can't sleep, no water, you know, all sorts of things. If you just think of... Yeah, very simple scenario. So that's how powerful the mind is, unless it's prepared. Yeah. So in our lives, Seattle says we pick up so easily things that we desire, not knowing the danger that if we don't get it, the mind has a reaction to it. And when we collect all these reactions, and there's some snowball reaction happening, there's so many things the mind is collecting all the time. He realizes on hindsight that, you know, what his mind collected from very young, even when he was meditating, his mind had a lot of greed for fun. He wanted fun. Even meditation, he made it fun. You know, he had good concentration, good experiences. He would, you know, fun. If he couldn't get it, he would get into a real, you know, problem. He says, but that's why he started getting... And, you know, he found lots of friends to have fun with and all that throughout school and university. But he says when he stopped being able to have that fun, very quickly, like just early 20s, like right out of university, and he was starting to have depression already. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yeah.
That's why we meditate.
No. Up.
Okay.
That's why people are meditating.
Yeah.
A lot of people, because of suffering, they come to meditate. Because of free from suffering. The only the way you can, like a mat, is from Blue Bell.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The mind is the mind, the heart mind. It's like water, you know? What you need, it's water that makes mud, right? But if you want to wash the mud away, you have to use the water. And our heart mind is the same. It can make itself into mud, but if you want to clean that mud away, you use the heart mind again in the right way. Nobody can do it for you.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yes.
Okay, like this.
Back to business. Back to business.
Back to the heart mind.
That may be a question.